The Round Table on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to Crick Info Round Table, the place where we discuss all that matters in the world of cricket. I'm Akhila Rangana and I will be standing in for Sanjay Manjrekar today. Right, Shane Warne, Brian Lara, Sachin Tendulkar, Rahul Dravid, Glenn McGrath, Adam Gilchrist. Cricketers who've captured the public imagination with their genius, cricketing superstars, truly some of the modern day greats. Their exploits have dominated the headlines for well over a decade, but now times have changed. Some of the names have bid adieu to the game, others are in the twilight of their illustrious careers, and in the next few years, the game could well be without these superstars. The question now arises, who will be the next superstars? Who amongst the current crop have both the game and the flair to fill the void? To answer these questions and nominate their superstars for the future, I have with me Ian Chappell, widely regarded as one of the most thinking captains of the modern era, and David Lloyd, former coach of England. Thank you very much for joining us on the Crick Info Roundtable.
Pleasure.
Before we actually get into names, what is it that you think defines a cricketing superstar? I mean, obviously being good at his craft is the main factor, but what do you think is that X factor that is involved? First Ian, then David?
Well, you know, as far as a batsman is concerned, obviously somebody who makes big scores, but somebody who scores quickly as well. I mean, the guys who have that ability to change the game very quickly in something like a session, they're the fellas who keep captains awake at night. So that's the story from the batting point of view. And then from the bowling point of view, guys who take wickets. I mean, Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, I guess, were exceptional in that they could stop the runs as well, but they were always likely to take a wicket. So fast bowlers probably have an advantage because crowds love to come and see someone who's genuinely quick and can shake up the batsman. But equally, Warne, because people perceived that something was about to happen every time that Shane Warne took the ball, you could always feel a buzz around the ground. Right. So that's the playing side of it. Then, obviously, you know, Shane Warne was a bit of a showman on the field, the way he appealed, and obviously off the field, you know, the media were always on his case. So, you know, some people just have that star quality. Sachin Tendulkar, for instance, has a star quality without being controversial off the field. And I think in his case, it was the style of his batting, and probably also the fact that he's made more money than any other cricketer. So there's a number of things that go to making a superstar.
David, Ian spoke about the star quality. Your thoughts on this?
Well, Akhila, it's almost like an actor, and it's the performance. I think that everybody rises to the performance of a player. The other thing that people warm to is entertainers, you know, real entertainers who can deliver the goods. And the other thing I would say, a star quality player, an absolute superstar, would be a player, batsman or bowler, that the opposition have sleepless nights about. They worry about him. How are we going to get him out? Or how are we going to deal with this sort of bowler? And it may be somebody like Shane Warne on day four, day five of a turning pitch. How are we going to perform against this guy? So I think it's sheer weight of performance, but added, as Ian says, to that entertainment value. And I would guess that Warne in particular, and Muralitharan, like nothing better than entertaining the public, almost as if to say, look at me, I actually am the star of this show.
You know, just talking about these superstars, how crucial are they, you know, to the growth of the game? Like you said, people will flock to the grounds just to see Sachin, you know, their off-field chronicles, beat endorsements, or, you know, they're much written about personal lives, as in the case is Warne, just seem to add to their aura and, you know, in turn glamorize the game. Ian?
Yes, I mean, people buy tickets to go and see that type of player, the match winner who has star quality. And, I mean, that's why, to me, it's important to have good young cricketers coming through all the time. I mean, Alan Border a few years ago said that Australia's going to have to get used to guys of age 28 making their debut. Well, if that's the case, then Australia needs to seriously look at the system that's producing cricketers, because, you know, you take Ricky Ponting when he was a young guy, you know, 20 years of age, coming into the Australian side. Now, people in Perth who haven't seen him, for instance, they say, oh, you know, I've heard about this young Ponting. He's supposed to be very good. So they go to the cricket ground when the match is on in Perth to see this guy and make their own judgment of how good he is. So that's why superstars are important, but also it's important to have young cricketers coming through because they enthuse the other players in their own team, but they also enthuse the public.
And when you're talking about superstars, and let's not forget that in any sport there are stars, but there are not that many superstars. So when you've got an absolute superstar, and somebody like Inzamam Ul Haq, if you look at him, there'll be so many boys in Pakistan who want to emulate what he's done. He's like a figure up there that they're looking to achieve. So you want your younger players to look up and say, I want to be that guy. And then when you talk to the younger players, it's always a good question to throw in, and who have been your heroes? And that hero always will be a superstar. It'll be a household name that they throw up and say, I've always wanted to be like him.
So, David, in turn, you know, how much do you believe that the success of these superstars, you know, rub off onto their teams? I mean, along with the cricketing genius, the sheer aura that surrounds the player, don't you think that just gives the team an edge over the other team?
Superstar, and it's exactly that. You get many stars who don't fit into a team. I think the superstar has the edge in that he is the team player. The team plays better with him in it. Everybody admires what he does because there's a subtle difference between that type of player and somebody who's a star, you know, who's a good player, but everybody in the game knows that he actually doesn't play for the team. And there's been plenty of them over the years, you know, from the outside looking in and talking about Australia. I think they're pretty ruthless if they see a player who gets into their team but doesn't give to the team. They get him out. I'm not going to name names, but there are one or two modern players who've only played once for Australia, and they ain't going to play again because they're not giving anything to the team.
Right, Ian, moving specifically to individuals now, Sachin Tendulkar, Shane Warne, Brian Lara, definitely three awesome modern-day greats. Two retired and one is probably in the twilight of his career. All three superstars, yet all three very different?
Yes, very different. You know, I think it's amazing to me how Sachin's coped with, you know, life in India. I mean, I couldn't cope with that at all. The fact that you've got to, you know, you've got to wear a wig and go out to watch a movie at midnight, you know, so you won't be pestered. I mean, that would drive me mad. I remember way back when I was a young bloke, and I was always interested in rock and roll, having grown up with, you know, the start of rock and roll. And I remember Cliff Richard, the English rock and roller, who was, you know, sold a lot of records. And I was listening to an interview they were doing, and he said, I feel sorry for Elvis Presley. He said he's basically stuck in that big house behind four walls. He said, on a Saturday morning, he said, I can just go down to the local village and go shopping and I don't have a problem. And that's when I realised that, you know, being a superstar isn't all it's cracked up to be. I mean, I'm sure Shane Warne would agree with that. And it's interesting to note that since Shane Warne has finished with international cricket, the media seem to be leaving him alone now and letting him get on with his life, which I guess tells you that despite all the other things that were written about, it was mostly his cricket that attracted the media. Brian Lara, for a little while, he struggled. I remember him being quoted as saying, you know, cricket was basically stuffing up his life. Well, you know, I mean, cricket was earning him a hell of a big income, and I think at that point he wasn't coping very well with superstardom. But I think he then learned how to cope with it. And one of the things that I admired about Brian Lara was the fact that he basically didn't change his style of play from go to woe. He, at the end of his career, he was still the same style of player as he was at the beginning, whereas Sachin Tendulkar is nothing like the player now that he was as a young bloke.
It absolutely staggers me the way that these people cope with it. And it was the end of the World Cup when Lara finished and retired and he was interviewed, and he just said, the last thing that he said is, have I entertained you? Mm. And, you know, they crave that people have enjoyed what they've done.
Ian Warne, Kumbley and Murli, three modern-day spinners, each hugely successful, you know, but each with a totally different appeal. Who do you see filling the gap after they go?
I think Monty Panesar, he's certainly got the ability. He's a match-winning bowler. He's already taken a lot of five-wicket hauls, and he's getting top-order batsmen out, and he's getting good top-order batsmen out. And he's also captured the imagination of the public. I mean, everybody talked about how he'd have a nightmare in Australia because the crowds would get on him. I mean, the crowds loved him in Australia. And I think there's a simple reason for why Monty is so popular. It's because his enthusiasm for the game just comes through. Everybody at that cricket ground, everybody watching on television, realises that Monty is just loving every second of being on the cricket field. And so, you know, people warm to him. I think, and the fact that he's not the best fielder around, I think a lot of people, you know, they're park cricketers themselves, and they see Monty fumble a couple, and they think to themselves, gee, you know, I mean, that's what I do on a Saturday afternoon in the park. So it makes him feel better. So Monty, I think, is definitely got. He's got the ability, and he's got that star quality traction that is going to take him into that sort of class.
David, Monty Panesar, the next big hope of spin bowling?
He is. I mean, he's just a genuine character. He's got a lot of soul as Monty. He's a pure individual, and I think he plays with a smile on his face, and when he's in the field, he looks absolutely petrified, and that's what Ian is saying. He doesn't actually want the ball to come to him. And people identify with that, that he's a modest soul. He is fantastic at what he does. He is a superb left-arm spin bowler. He will get 300 test match wickets, which will make him a star.
Kevin Peterson obviously is, if he's not already in that category, he's certainly heading in that direction very quickly. Although he seems to have... He seems to have settled his life down off the cricket pitch quite a bit, but he still has that star quality, and certainly his play, he's a match winner as far as his playing is concerned.
Peterson has got that other quality of confrontation, okay? You're here, I'm here, let's rumble. And people like to see that as well. And so England in those two have got to really... star players in the making, and people, as we've said all along just today, is that they will buy tickets to watch that sort of player.
David, you know, you've spoken about Peterson, Ian's also spoken about him. Is he perhaps the closest to the Warne mould, you know, in the sense the perfect blend of on-field talent and off-the-field appeal? On the other hand, you have Mahela Jayawardena, who's perhaps more in the Tendulkar mould, where, you know, cricket takes center stage.
Yeah, Jayawardena seems to me to be a very quiet, private chap. He is a fine player. He's a good leader. He takes his job conscientiously and very seriously, whereas Peterson has got a little bit of negative about him. And, you know, you hear people in England talk about Kevin Peterson, and there's a little negative about him, which, again, is part of the appeal. And that comes back to the confrontation. He's out there in the middle. And then when he does his interviews, he might just say something that he very honestly thinks, but other people don't like. I mean, last week he's just said, oh, I feel a bit tired. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Just express it how you feel. And I know that a colleague of mine, Michael Atherton, got really upset about him saying, I feel tired, because Atherton had done his digging and diving as a serious journalist and said, well, why is he doing promotional work on his days off? So there's something about Peterson that you like or something about Peterson that you hate.
Ian, you've spoken about the buzz, you know, that goes around the ground when Shane Warne would come on to bowl. Do you think Peterson is well on his way to creating that buzz, you know, when he walks out to bat, or is he already there?
Oh, he's already there. I mean, you could hear Lord's buzzing the other day. And when he had to fight hard for his runs in the evening and then the first session before lunch, I think on the fourth day, Peterson, you could tell that there was an expectancy in the crowd. You know, they were sort of saying, right, you know, Peterson's really battling hard for his runs, but sooner or later, if he's there for a bit longer, he's going to break out. And, of course, he did break out after lunch. And so you talk about people sitting on the edge of their seat. Well, that's what happens when Warne takes the ball, Murali takes the ball, even, you know, when Monty takes the ball now. And when Peterson walks through the gate, when Brian Lara walks through the gate, when Sachin, even still, when Sachin Tendulkar walks through the gate, people still remember what he did as a youngster. And everybody, you know, when Tendulkar's playing in your area, in your region, you buy a ticket and you go along because you think to yourself, you never know. He might just recapture that magic today, and I want to be there if it happens.
Ian Shoaib Akhtar, one pace bowler who recently hit headlines, you know, for the wrong reasons. Now we also have Mohammad Asif in the Pakistan team, who has had tremendous impact on the international scene, movement control and a drug scandal to boot. Do you see him going the Shoaib Akhtar way, or do you actually see him being able to rise above that and become a great bowler?
Yeah, I hope his drug problems were, you know, through bad advice, because I like, you know, the little bit I've had to do with Mohammad Asif off the field, you know, I've found him, he's got a ready smile on his face, he's a bit of a character, he likes to live his life outside of cricket, and he can certainly bowl. The first time I saw him in Sri Lanka, he made the ball talk. He's got a quality about him, even though he's not a genuine fast bowler, he's probably like Glenn McGrath, in that people look upon him as a real tradesman, but just got that extra little bit of quality about him. I think Mohammad Asif has the ability to do that as a seam bowler.
David, your thoughts on this? How do you see the comparison?
Well, the pair of them, Mohammad Asif and Shoaib Akhtar, have got it. They get people watching them perform within a team. I would like to see the pair of them with a strong management to point them in the right direction, to do what they do and do it well, but don't get misled in other directions.
Right.
And in particular, to Shoaib Akhtar, if we're talking star quality, that boy has got it. He's got it for a number of years. If you can propel a cricket ball at nearly 100 miles an hour, people at the other end, 22 yards away, will take notice. He gets wickets, he gets the best players out, he likes to entertain. Somewhere along the way, like Andrew Flintoff did, they take a wrong turn.
Mm.
You know, they do something wrong.
David, you've just spoken about the pair of Shoaib Akhtar and Mohammad Asif. There was another pair, although from different teams, Lasith Malinga and Sean Tate. Both had a lot of impact on the World Cup. You know, fast, both possessing the capability to blast out the opposition. How do you see them faring?
Well, they both fare very, very well. Sean Tate, he is such a big chap, but he's only young. There's a lot more to come from him. And when he burst on the scene, I know that people say, well, he's not very good. He sprays it all over the place, but he's developed. He's got much, much better. And nearly 100 miles an hour, everybody will take notice. Lasith Malinga, again, is a showman. He's totally different. I mean, he would never get past an MCC coaching manual. He'd have been thrown out. This guy can't do it. But he's a totally different action. He's got a good character to him, and he's given Sri Lanka something else. So I think Malinga is a real exciting cricketer, and the two of them, to me, outside looking in, look supremely fit. They just look fit individuals who will continue for quite some time.
Ian, David's spoken about, you know, Andrew Flintoff on the rise, but unfortunately taking a wrong turn. What do you think actually went wrong? Is it the weight of expectations that is pulling him down? Because at one point of time, he just seemed to do no wrong.
His main problem has been injuries. You know, this ankle seems to be constantly troubling him. And, I mean, you need him bowling fast and bowling well to be the true all-rounder. Yeah, I mean, it's a sad part of the modern game that you can't go out and have a few drinks and enjoy yourself. And it would have driven me mad if we as a team, as an Australian team, had success, and then we just walked back in the dressing room, packed up our bags and said, all right, guys, we'll see you next week. Yeah, I mean, you work very hard to win a five-day test match. And I always felt that as a team, we then deserve to celebrate it. Okay, you try not to mess up other people's lives while you're celebrating. I find it a bit objectionable that, for instance, that Andrew Flintoff is out having, having a drink or two, and I find it pretty disgraceful that, you know, people from the public then dobbed him in. But I guess that's something that you've got to be aware of now as a modern-day player. In that there'll be a lot of jealousy around because, you know, the players are earning big money and, certain fans, I guess, will feel like they're being let down. If you're a drinker, you can't just sit in your hotel room and look at four walls and not drink for 3-4 months while you're on tour, but you've got to pick your moments. And obviously, now that the game is so professional, you've got to be a little bit careful where you have a drink and how you behave.
David, you and Ian have spoken about Andrew Flintoff. Two other cases, that is Irfan Pathan and Harbhajan Singh, two cricketers who showed tremendous potential, had some great series, but now unfortunately are not being able to find a place in their team, in the Indian side. What do you think seems to have gone wrong there?
I think with the Harbhajan, he seems to have lost his mystery, if you like. He's lost his aura. And people in opposition, the batsmen, don't actually talk about him too much. They've worked him out and they don't see him as a threat. And I think that has got through to the team as well. Kundli is always a threat, you know, a massive threat. And if India bat first and rack up the runs and you get on a pitch that he's wearing, Kundli is box office. And what I hear about Pathan is that he's lost his action and you're not going to want a passenger in your team. And so it's really about hard work and getting some stats to get you back into the team. It's as simple as that. Harbhajan is a very interesting case in that he has lost the aura of the opposition worrying about him.
Just looking at these two cases you've just spoken about, David, you know, the inability to deal with instant success can also be career-threatening, and somehow we seem to see more instances of this in the subcontinent.
Right, well, if I can just dwell on the Flintoff business for a second,
right.
I wouldn't have had a problem with that. I signed Andrew Flintoff when he was 15. I know all about him, and you can manage him easily without any problem whatsoever. It was a good story. It was a good photo opportunity. And he wasn't playing for a number of days after that. The young men, they need every now and again to enjoy themselves. And I would be so disappointed if, as Ian says, that a member of the public took a photograph, which they did, and sold it to newspapers for money. That's all they were interested in. But to get to all young players, you know, there is so much, many trappings in the world now. There is so much that you can do, so much you can get if you become a star or a superstar. So along the way, you need to be managed properly, and you need a good captain. You know, I think the captain is in charge of the team. A good captain will be on the lookout all the time for the welfare of his team.
Just bringing an end to this discussion, with both of you, first you, Ian, and then David, your top three superstars of the future?
Peterson, obviously. Monty Panesar, I think, is headed in that direction. Peterson's probably there already. And I think if Mohammad Asif, if he gets his life sorted out, he's got something about him. He's a very, very good bowler. He's got a nice smile. And, I think he's going to be a match winner. You know, as David said, if somebody can take 300 wickets, well, then, you know, they've got star quality. And I think he's got the ability to do that.
David, your top three?
Well, Panesar, he's going to be a superstar. He is now. Everybody loves him to bits wherever he plays cricket. So he's going to do the business. He's Monty Panesar. I always like rank outsiders. If I'm backing a horse, I like to look at the outsider. I'll give you a name of a 19-year-old in England who, if he continues to improve, will have a massive impact. And it's so exciting for us that we've got a leg spinner, and he's called Adil Rashid. He's 19 years of age. I saw him in the Roses game, Lancashire versus Yorkshire. He scored runs, he fields brilliantly, and he bowls good leg spin. He got top players out in that game. I'm talking about Brad Hodge and Stuart Law, bowling leg spin at 19 years of age. He's not the finished article, but he has got something. We were on a televised game, and the look in his eyes and the confidence at the end of his run. So watch out for his name, Adil Rashid. And I'll tell you a player who I really like, and I'm not sure that he's going to be a star, but I've seen him since 17 years of age, and he's just starting to get hundreds. And that's Mohammed Ashraful of Bangladesh. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Right. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us on this Cricket Info Roundtable. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Akhila.
You're listening to Crick Info Talk.